We're now to Psalm 62, just a couple more pages, page 628 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read the first six verses of this psalm. Psalm 62, verses 1 through 6, we'll read the verses responsively. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing ball shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And let's pray. Father, this service, of course, is unique in more than one way. It's the only Sunday just like this that we'll ever experience. This same crowd will never assemble again. Most of us can come to this place Sunday after Sunday. We surely enjoy being here. Bless those who visit with us. Bless, we pray, our neighbors and friends. And help that everything that is said and done might be helpful to each individual, but especially that it might glorify thee. Bless with power our preacher. Thank you for meeting with us again. In Jesus' name, amen.
After I preach this morning, you're not going to have as much confidence in me as you do now. What I do on Sundays is basically this. I tell you things that I found about the Christian life, maybe some secrets, and I share them with you. That's all. This morning, I once again am going to share with you what I think is one of the most important, and it's a secret almost, to most people. I want you to listen very carefully. I want you, please, to just close your Bibles, and I want you to take your pens and pencils and put them up, and let me talk to you for a while. I want to speak this morning on the subject, say it until you believe it. Say it until you believe it. Most of us don't talk enough about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Father, bless me as I speak, and our dear people as they hear. And I pray today that together we'll find one of the great solutions to doubts and fears and heartaches. In Jesus' name, amen. People often ask me, and don't leave me now, stay right with me. People often ask me, Brother Hiles, how do you take it? If I wrote a book on the problems that I've faced, my own and yours, this week, you'd find it hard to believe. It'd be a bestseller, I promise you. If I just wrote a book about the problems and heartaches and tragedies that I have been in my office this week. And yet, I'm a pretty happy person. I enjoy life. I'm hardly ever depressed. Only at deacon's meetings do I ever get depressed. But I want to share with you today one of the things, and like I say, when I share it with you, you're not going to have as much confidence with me after a while. You're going to think I'm a fake, but I'm not. But listen carefully then. How glibly we read the Bible. I was reading this psalm. I came down to, I think it's verse 6, and don't turn to it because I want to talk to you. And the psalmist said, I shall not be moved. That's one of my favorite statements in the Bible. I shall not be moved. I shall not resign my bus route. I shall not resign my Sunday school class. I shall not leave the college till I get my degree. I shall not be moved. Didn't say I'll not move. Said nobody's going to move me. I shall not be moved. Now, as I read this, it sounded familiar to me in verse 6. I shall not be moved. And so I looked back and I started reading the first part of the psalm. And listen carefully. In the first part of the psalmist said, I shall not greatly be moved. And then down in verse 6, he makes it stronger. He said, I shall not be moved. He said, first he said, I won't be moved the wrong ways. But after a while, he said, I think back correctly, that's not in the Bible, but he said, I'm just not going to be moved at all. You see, in this psalm, something had happened as he wrote it. He went from shaky confidence to total assurance in this psalm. I shall not greatly be moved to I shall not be moved at all. In other words, he said, I'll not be moved way over there. I might be moved over here, but I won't greatly move. And then after a while, he said, let me change that. He said, I'll just stay right here. I won't be moved at all. I won't go from my old-time religion position, I shall not be moved. I won't go from my King James Bible position, I shall not be moved. I won't go from my separatist position, I shall not be moved. Now, how did he do this? How did he go from shaky confidence to total confidence in just a few verses? Here's how he did it. By talking of the goodness and the power of God. In between these, I shall not be greatly moved and I shall not be moved, are such statements as this. Wait upon God. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my defense. And in saying it and talking it, he increased his own faith. For example, he said, I shall not be greatly moved. Wait upon God. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my defense. And then he said, I've talked myself into changing that. I shall not be moved at all. He gathered courage. Hear me now. He gathered courage as he spoke of courage. He gathered faith as he spoke of faith. He gathered strength as he spoke of strength. He became more assured as he talked to others about being assured. He loved God more as he talked about the love of God more to others. And as he instructed others to love God more, it made him love God more. And he became more convinced of God's power as he convinced others of God's power. His faith multiplied as he led others to have faith. His strength multiplied as he led others to have strength. His burdens became lighter as he lightened the burdens of others. His courage became stronger as he encouraged others to become stronger. He spoke to himself as he spoke to others. I was preaching in Newcastle, Delaware. Dr. Lee Roberts and I are speaking together. On Monday night, he spoke first. I spoke last. Tuesday morning, I spoke first. He spoke last. He was sitting right down here. As I finished speaking, I walked down to sit in the front row where he had been sitting, and he walked up to speak. Look at me now. And he said, were you preaching to us or to yourself? Were you preaching to us or to yourself? And I said, that's easy, Doc. I was preaching to all of us. For in convincing others to become stronger, I became stronger. The more I talked about the power of God, the more power of God I felt. The more I talked about courage, the more courageous I got. And your problem is, you just don't talk enough about the good things of God. If you'll get to a place where you'll talk about it, you can talk yourself into believing it. And you'll be strengthened by talking about it. I'm talking today about talking. I'm talking about using your tongue. Well, you say, I'm the shy type. Well, suck your thumb while you talk about Jesus, but talk about Jesus. Suck your thumb about telling others about the grace of God will convince you more that of the grace of God. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. But you say, Brother Howes, I feel it, but don't speak it. We'll get right with God, and you'll feel it and speak it, you see. And in speaking it, you'll become a stronger Christian because you speak it. whenever Israel, you're going to lose your faith in me. Whenever a tiny doubt about salvation were to come to me, let's suppose all of a sudden I say, listen, did I really get saved back yonder when I was 11 years old? I really get saved. I don't call a pastor, study, and make an appointment with a pastor. I don't sit down and try to think it through and say, did I or not? I take off out yonder and corner somebody on the sidewalk and tell them about Jesus. I'll tell them that the four things you've got to know to be saved, you've got to know you're a sinner, you've got to know you're lost and on your way to hell, you've got to know that Jesus came, virgin born, sinless life, took your place on Calvary, rose again for your justification, and you've got to know if you'll trust Him as your Savior. And the fellow gets saved, and I said, well, I'll declare, I did that years and years ago, and the salvation that I was doubting a while ago, I don't doubt it because I talk about it. Listen, the folks that doubt their salvation, Lord, are folks that don't talk about it enough. Brother, you just, an old story, I love to tell it. 50 years ago, this happened. I think it happened. If it didn't, it's a pretty good thing to have happened if it did happen. Abe Simon was his name. Ruth Kaywood was hers. They were members of our church almost 50 years ago in a little country church, the Range Hall Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas. Abe was a college student, and Ruth, by the way, Joe Boyd and I won the Kaywood Family of Christ. And Ruth married Abe. And both of them good Christians, both of them saved, she's saved in our church, and both of them soul winners. One night about 1 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang, and Abe said, for the house, come quickly. Yeah, I said, Abe, what's wrong? He said it's Ruth. I said, is she dead? No. I said, No, come quickly, little house. I can't tell you. Just come quickly. I got up and put my coat on over my pajamas and took off over there to the Longview Highway outside Marshall, Texas, and they lived in a little place behind the service station, young couple. And when I got there, Ruth was on the floor. I mean, writhing on the floor and screaming and crying. And I said, Ruth, what's wrong? And she said, Brother House, I don't think I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. I said, Ruth, I was there when you got saved. Brother House, I don't think I'm saved. And I said, Ruth, well, tell me when you joined the church. Tell me about it. Well, she said, you preach, and I walk down the aisle, and you told me I was a sinner, and you told me that I was going to hell if I died, and you told me Jesus paid the penalty, and I didn't have to go to hell. And you told me that I trusted Him, I'd be saved, and I did. And praise God, I'm saved, she said. Now, you see, your problem is you don't talk about it enough. If you talk about Jesus as much as you talked about the weather, you wouldn't have any doubts about your salvation. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords Supreme. Through all eternity. Great I am, the way, the truth, the life. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. I'm simply saying that the psalmist said, I shall not greatly be moved. He's wonderful. He's powerful. He's my God. He's omnipotent and so forth. And then he said, I shall not be moved. He talked himself from shaky assurance to complete assurance by talking about the wonderful things of God. When I get discouraged, or see myself wondering if I can make it, I don't go to the preacher, make an appointment. I'm trying to get out of appointments this morning. I don't have a preacher to call. I don't call a pastor and say, can I talk to you, Brother House? I just don't think I can make it anymore. Well, bless God, I just go somebody can't make it, says they can't make it, and tell them they can. And after I say, you can make it, and I say, I keep saying you can till I believe I can. Now you listen to me. You don't need to analyze your situation. You need to get out and tell people there's a God in heaven, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, heavenly Father, and you can do all things through Him, and He'll supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Talk about it. Tell how wonderful He is, and convince others that they can make it, and out yonder somewhere, you're going to think you can make it also. The truth is, you're just ashamed to talk about God. Let's just look it square in the eyeball. You're ashamed to talk about God. You're ashamed on your job to say, I love Jesus. Ashamed. I got a phone call the other day. Arlington, Texas. An older lady now who's crippled, shut in nearly. I returned the call, and she said, Brother Howes, this is Nell DeBoard. I've told you about her before. I said, well, Nell, good night. I haven't heard from you in a long time. She said, Brother House, 45 years ago today, on the corner of Rolando Street and Miller Road in Garland, Texas, I was out working the flower bed 45 years ago today. You drove up in front of my house, you and a fellow named Bob T. You drove up in front of my house and you told me about Jesus. And 45 years ago today, you led me to Christ. I just want to call and thank you for leading me to Christ 45 years ago today. That's the little gal who just a few days after I wanted to cry. By the way, the next night, I went to her house. Her husband Jake was there, and Nell was washing dishes. And I won Jake to Christ that night, and after Jake got saved, Nell had a spell, and she just super suds went all over the house, including me. Wait a minute. A few days. Okay, let's see. That was in November. December 24th, Christmas Eve. Her little 15-month-old boy, David, got sick. She took David to the hospital, or to the doctor. She was walking up the steps to the doctor's office with little David, not ill, very ill, she thought, to the doctor, and in her arms, little David quit breathing and died before he got to the doctor. The story is old, and most of you know it, but I used to say this. Nell, after David died, I wonder how she'd take it, been saved about a month. She decided that she was going to look in the Dallas Morning News, the Dallas Times Herald, at the obituary column, and every time somebody lost a little child anywhere in Dallas County, she's going to go see them. Hear me carefully. I asked her one day, I said, Nell, how many times? She said, I go almost every day to see somebody's lost a child. And I said, well, why? She said, I want to tell them they can take it. And I said, wonderful. She said, that's the way I take it. Did you hear me? That's the way I take it. What you do, you go mope somewhere because of your problem and have a little pity party. What you ought to do, you ought to get out and talk about how wonderful God is and how powerful God is and how His grace is sufficient. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords Supreme. I'm saying, talk about it if you believe it. That's your problem. When I get discouraged, I don't read a book on positive thinking. I wouldn't give you a dime for all these. In the first place, these guys writing these books ought to be out telling somebody about the Savior. Not against books. I'm against these power of positive thinking books and success-oriented books and 75 ways to be happy. Let me tell you how to be happy. You talk about the Savior and the wonder of God and the glory of salvation. You won't have to read those books. I don't read them. I just go to someone who's discouraged. And I talk about how that they ought to be encouraged. Say, what do you say? Same old stuff I preach. Walk up there and say, did you know your name's written in heaven? Do you know that your sins are blotted out of God's book? You know that He has put on your record the record of Jesus Christ, and just as He will not impute your sin to your record, He imputes His righteousness to your record. Did you know that? And brother, before I get through, I have a hard time finishing. I want to have a spell. Why? I'm talking myself out of discouragement. Go out and find somebody discouraged and tell them how wonderful God is and how His grace is sufficient. And you will find out that your discouragement will flee. Get this. When I feel I can't take it anymore, I find someone who feels they can't take it anymore and tell them they can take it. And I keep on telling them they can take it till I believe I can take it. Let me give you a little formula. I cannot see the way. I notice you cannot see the way. I remind you there is a way for you. And then I believe there's a way for me. Then I help you find your way, and then I find my way. Some of you gals today that are not very romantic and not very affectionate, you'd be surprised how that you could talk yourself into that. You could look at a guy like this and say, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful. And sooner or later, oh, let me just find somebody else here. But I'm trying to tell you that the truth is, you just say, I love you enough and you'll love him more. It is the fertilizer and the succorer of increasing love to express love, and increased strength to express strength, and increasing grace to express grace. So if I'm discouraged, I can't take it, I find someone who feels they can't take it, and I tell them they can take it till I believe I can take it. Listen to this. You're going to fire me after I tell you this. And I've been wanting to go to Florida and use my Bermuda shorts anyway and play shuffleboard. A few years ago, I was tempted to quit. I prepared a sermon on don't quit. And I skinned you folks alive. I said, you little ear-tickling, back-scratching, penny-pinching, nickel-nipping, salt-soaping, pink, tea lemonade, yellow-spine quitters, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And about two-thirds of the way in that sermon, I decided not to quit. So I'm simply saying, I was tempted to quit. I went to somebody else tempted to quit, and I told them they shouldn't quit. I said, God can see you through. God can see you through. And then I said, I bet you God can see me through, too. Me, I'm just not one of those that's loud mouth. Oh, shut up. You talk on the phone 15 minutes. And don't say a word. I've made many a visit to a rest home to lift the spirits of a patient till my spirits were lifted. Many a time on the road traveling, I go to my motel room and battle's heavy and the load's heavy and the enemy is fierce, and all of a sudden I say to myself, I can't stay here. I'll get a Yellow Pages and I'll look up a nearest rest home, or I'll get a cab driver and say, take me to the nearest rest home, and I'll go to that rest home and I'll see those people staring into space there and sitting in their wheelchairs realizing they'll never get out, they'll never see another sunrise, never see another sunset, never have another Christmas tree in the house, never be with their family for Thanksgiving again. All of a sudden I say, God is with you, God is with you, God is here, and God can see you through. And somewhere in that, I believe God can see me through, and my spirits are lifted because I talk about how God is able to lift your spirit. Oh, this is good. I visited many a shut-in to convince them of Romans 8:28, until I could believe Romans 8:28. I've carefully chosen what appointment to take so I could convince myself that God is able by telling someone else that God is able. One of my favorite stories. Back in about 1956, I would just begin to travel across America. I was preaching in Norfolk, Virginia, and a fellow named D.N. Hardison was pastor there. By the way, I got a letter from him this week. He's now an evangelist. And I preached there several nights. I had to catch a plane to go to Washington, D.C., change planes and fly to Dallas, Texas in Washington, D.C. I got to the airport, folks, the worst snowstorm in the history of Norfolk had taken place. 10 inches of snow, and it's blizzard and blowing and still snowing, and there I was at the airport. Now, back in those days, I didn't like flying. I had jumped out of airplanes but never had landed in one. And I sprayed. So I got to the airport, 10 inches of snow. You couldn't see the airplane out there, and planes couldn't take off. And I said, great. They won't fly in this snow. They won't fly anyway, but especially in a snowstorm. I said, great. I went to the telephone, picked up the phone, called the Greyhound bus. And I said, I want a bus to Washington, D.C. And they said, mister, every highway between Norfolk and Washington is closed. The buses are not running. I said, good night. I got to get to Washington tonight, catch a plane. And they said, it's not one. Oh, I said, what am I going to do? And then they made the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, flight 1234 is leaving for Washington, D.C. in 15 minutes. Oh, my soul. Blizzard. I said, I can't do it. Scared to death. I know what I'll do. I had a little stomach problem, and the doctor gave me some phenobarbital. If you ever want to just forget it all, take a little phenobarbital. Well, I was supposed to take a pill every 4 hours. And I thought, now, if I can take enough of those pills, I won't be scared to fly. I loaded up on those pills. I'm not kidding you. I loaded up on them. I got on the airplane. Whee! I sat down. I had tried to get a bus. Then I took the pills. The fellow sitting right to my right looked over, and he said, you look familiar. I said, what? He said, you're not Dr. Jack Hiles, are you? I said, sure. I'm Dr. Hiles. He said, boy, am I glad to see you. He said, you're one of my favorite preachers. I've heard of you and heard you preach. And he said, man, he said, I was scared to get on this plane. I said, no. Why, he said, Brother House, I hate to tell you this, but he said, I even called a Greyhound bus station to see if they had a bus going to Washington. I said, you didn't. He said, that isn't all. He said, I just took four tranquilizers a while ago. I said, son, don't you understand God can take care of you? Don't you have a living God? Have you ever read Philippians 4:19, 4:13? Huh? Yeah. Have you ever read Romans 8:28? Yeah. Well, I said, believe it. I said, do you believe it? After about 10 minutes, that I did. I'm telling you, in convincing him, I convinced myself. And your problem is that you like the Arctic River. You're frozen at the mouth, and you don't talk about the good things of God. But you say, I just like going around talking about religion. Okay, change your mind, get right with God, and then go about talking about religion. I'm sick and tired of these famous people saying, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't impose it on others. Well, get a Bible and read it and get right with God and start telling others how wonderful our God is. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords, Supreme, all eternity. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, you can talk yourself into believing the grace of God. If you talk about the grace of God and the love of God and the encouragement from God, talk about it. 1957, Joe Borden and I were voted out of the Dallas Baptist Association. I didn't deserve it, but I'd run with him. And if you run with the wrong crowd, the fallout hurts you too. On October 10th, Brother Joe, that's the Day of Atonement. That's the day that the Jews took two goats. They killed one and led the other in the wilderness never to return. And the Southern Baptist Convention that day celebrated the Day of Atonement. Because we wouldn't support the stinking colleges that don't believe this book right here. We wouldn't give a dime to a bunch of liberal missionaries that don't believe. We're not interested in sending folks to raise corn overseas, but to raise the gospel overseas. But you see, I thought the Southern Baptist Convention was like the American Medical Association. You couldn't practice if you didn't belong. I went to my office. I hate to even admit this. I got a Dallas Morning News, Brother Joe, and I read the classified section, Help Wanted. I was going to look for a job. I was sitting there, no joke, scouts on her, crossed my heart, hope Jack Scott dies. Honestly, I was sitting there reading the classified section, trying to find a good job open so I could get me a job to support my family. Secretary called and said, Brother House, young preacher wants to see you. I was young preacher too. He walked in, put his head on the desk, started crying. He hadn't heard about my situation. He came in and he said, Brother House, I've had all I can take. He told me his situation. I said, what are you, a man or a mouse? There's the classified section right in front of me. I said, God didn't call you to quit. God called you to keep going. I know, Brother House, I'm not like you. Yes, he was. He's exactly like me. Brother House, I wish I had your courage. I said, you can get it where I got it. I think that's where he got it. And I kept on. I said, son, you can't quit the ministry. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. But I'm afraid my church will vote me out. I said, get your street corner. Go to the hospitals and preach. Go to the jails and preach. But even the house, I think I just want to go back in the secular field. I said, that's of the devil. He said, boy, you've helped me, preacher. Thank you. I'm going to stay in there. He walked away. I tore up the Dallas Morning News. I decided to hang in there. Now, you listen to me carefully. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, and every temptation you've had, I've had. See, your problem is you don't talk about the goodness of God enough to hear about the goodness. And by the way, nobody else is going to talk about it. So if you hear about the goodness of God, it's going to be in from your mouth to your ear. and you just talk about it and talk about how wonderful he is and how marvelous his grace and how great his power and how wonderful his blessings and how he is able and he'll give you strength and he'll give you power and he'll give you courage. And, you know, after a while, you'll talk yourself into believing. I cannot see the way. I notice you cannot see the way. So let me remind you that there is a way for you. And after I've done so, I then will believe there's a way for me. So I will help you find your way. And then I'll find my way. Come on, the house. I just don't like to go up and down the street calling people, talking about the Lord. Okay, how about talking to children? They're not on the street. They're in your house. Talk about, tell your children how good God is. Get your Sunday school class and tell your Sunday school class. Get your bus route and tell the bus kids. Go to a hospital and visit somebody that's sick and tell them His grace is sufficient. Go to a rest home. Go soul winning and tell it. The psalmist said, I shall not be greatly moved. And then as I said a while ago, he said, wait upon God. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my defense. And he said, let me paraphrase or change my statement a while ago. A while ago I said, I shall not be greatly moved. He said, I've changed my head. I've changed my mind. I shall not be moved. And one of the reasons why you look at an old man that's hung in there, because I've been able to come to this pulpit 3 times a week and tell you to hang in there. Now, you can hang in there if you tell more folks to hang in there. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity, the great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's just talk about Jesus more and more. This morning, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ, you have none of these promises. You cannot say, I shall not be greatly moved, or I shall not be moved, because you do not have the foundation under you, which is Christ, the living stone. But you come down this aisle this morning and say yes to Jesus Christ, admitting that you're a sinner, admitting that you're under the condemnation of God because you are a sinner, but the wages of sin is death, admitting that Jesus Christ, you believe that He was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, went to Calvary, took your sins on His record and put your sins on His record and His righteousness on yours. And all you've got to do, listen carefully, all you've got to do to have every sin you've ever committed transferred to the record of Jesus Christ and every good thing He's ever done transferred to your record is put your trust and faith in Christ, realizing you're a sinner and realizing He's the only Savior, and you trust Him and you can walk out those doors today. Not a perfect person, but in the sight of God, a perfect person. Not without sin, but in the sight of God without sin. And though you will still sin, God will not put a sin on your record. And you can be a child of God and on your way to heaven. Not because of your righteousness, because of His. Not because of your goodness, but because of His. I trust you'll walk down this aisle this morning and do the thing that you thought about for years. You've often said, I ought to be a Christian. I ought to trust the Savior. I ought to become a child of God. You thought about it. Now this is a good time for you to do something about it. Leave your seat in the moment when we stand in the choir, we'll sing. Walk to the aisle that's nearest you and down the aisle at the front and say, yes, this is the day when I'm saying yes to Christ and preparing to meet my God. Shall we stand? The choir's going to sing. You just explode out of your...